How many of you like to wait? There's always one. Chip loves to wait. You know, I remember many times in my life waiting. Just in the last week, waiting. One of my favorite waiting stories is the first time Rachel and I, as a married couple, went to the doctor together. We went to a doctor, and his last name was Dr. White. And we came into the waiting room, and we, after about 15 minutes, went back to the actual appointment room. And after staying there, you know, they gave us the vital check and all that, asked us a question. We sat there, and we sat there, and we sat there. And we were in separate rooms. One was in across the hall, and one was across the hall. And after half an hour or so of sitting there, we both kind of peeked our head out the door. And we started looking around the corner, and I walked down the hallway, and there's no one in the doctor's office to be found. And so Rachel and I are out in the hallway talking to each other as we're waiting for the doctor. Finally, a nurse comes by, and we say, "Hey, what's going on? It's been 45 minutes since our appointment time, and we've seen no one since the beginning." And she said, "Oh, well, this is their scheduled meeting time as a group office, and so they have their office time right now." I was like, "Well, how long is that?" She said, "Maybe 45 minutes, an hour, hour and a half, I don't know, somewhere in there." And so I said, "Well, if he's not here in the next 10 minutes, I'm leaving and I'm not paying for it. Forget it." And that's, I kind of get aggravated in the waiting. I don't know about you, especially when you set an appointment during a time that you already have a meeting. Don't make me wait forever. And we have that kind of idea of, man, I don't like to wait. If you've ever taken a trip with kids, you know, after half an hour in the car, they're thinking, when are we going to get there? I took a field trip with the kids the other day to Connor Prairie, and after 5 minutes on the bus, I think it's a game to them. They go, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" And that's the mentality. We don't like to wait. Have you ever been in a waiting period, though, with God? A time where you're waiting for guidance. A time where you're waiting for an answer to maybe a prayer. A time where you are distraught and you don't know what's going on in life, and you're just kind of wandering and wondering and waiting. As I studied this week, I came to Psalm 40 and I found it very applicational in my life. And if you've ever been in a waiting time, maybe you call it the waiting game. And it's not very fun. It's not really a game, like a board game or something like that. It's more like Monopoly than anything, because Monopoly is like a 17-hour game if you ever play Monopoly. If you're a big Monopoly fan, I'm sorry, but don't ever ask me to play Monopoly with you. It will be a no. Just yesterday, we were at the store, and Nola found a Princess Monopoly, and she goes, "Daddy, I want this Princess Monopoly," or a Princess game. She didn't know it was Monopoly. And I looked at it, and I said, "Monopoly," and I said, "No." I have no problem saying no to Monopoly. I hate the game. It's so boring. It's like Risk. Oh, okay. So anyway, this waiting game that we go through, this time of going through, we don't like this. It's not very fun. But anytime we go into a game, or anytime we go into a time of game, we may call like a sports game, or maybe you're playing chess, or maybe you're playing checkers, you go in with strategy. But when we go into this waiting game, we don't go in with any strategy. We just kind of wait. And maybe we get annoyed or frustrated or just beat down. And so I want to give you a strategy in the waiting. An application of what should we do while we are waiting on the Lord. And Psalm 40 goes through this, and David gives four key elements that we can apply to do while waiting, and then some sub-points under that, each of those four. And so we're going to go ahead and read this, and then pray that God will help us understand it as we go through it together. I waited patiently for the Lord. That's Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry for help. He brought me up from the desolate pit, out of the muddy clay, and set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. How happy is the man who has put his trust in the Lord and has not turned to the proud or to those who run after lies. Lord, my God, you have done many things, your wonderful works and your plans for us. None can compare with you. If I were to report and speak of them, they are more than can be told. You do not delight in sacrifice or offering. You open my ears to listen. You do not ask for whole burnt offering or sin offering. Then I said, see, I have come. It is written about me in the volume of the scroll. I delight to do your will, my God. Your instructions lives within me. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. See, I do not keep my mouth closed. As you know, Lord, I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I spoke about your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your constant love and truth from the great assembly. Lord, do not withhold your compassion from me. Your constant love and truth will always guard me. For troubles without number are surrounding me. My sin has overtaken me. I am unable to see. There are more than the hairs of my head, and my courage leaves me. Lord, be pleased to deliver me. Hurry to help me, Lord. Let those who seek to take my life be disgraced and confounded. Let those who wish me harm be driven back and humiliated. Let those who say to me, aha, aha, be horrified because of their shame. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation continually say, the Lord is great. I am afflicted and needy, and the Lord thinks of me. You are my helper and my deliverer, my God. Do not delay. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we can get in it together as a church family. Lord, I pray that you will teach us today. I pray that you'll guide us through your word. I pray that you'll bring great understanding to what we read here today. Holy Spirit, that you'll soften our hearts, that you'll prepare our hearts to hear your message today. Lord, I pray that these will become applications that are a normal part of our life. Lord, that we won't forget them as we leave, that we'll write them down and start practicing during the waiting in life. And every single one of us faces this. Maybe we're not there now, but we will be someday. And Lord, help us to learn from David here. As you have stirred in him and guided him to write down these words so that we can learn from you, Lord. And so, Lord, from your word today, we plead and beg, Lord, that you will change us. Lord, guide us today. Change us today through your word. Holy Spirit, work in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Psalm 40, verse 1, we can learn from this, maybe you call professional waiter here. David was a pro at this. Several times throughout his life, we see him calling on the Lord, waiting for the Lord, waiting for a response. And here we see one of these written down as God has guided David and given him this example to set for us here. And so the first thing he says, and the first point of how should we respond, the first application point of how should we respond to waiting is, and this is a hard one, be patient. What? Seriously? I'm waiting. And then you're telling me to be patient. Yes. Be patient. This is something that we learn. This is something that we are not born with. We used to have family dinners after church when we lived in Michigan with my parents. And every Sunday, many Sundays, we'd come together in the afternoon when my grandmas were alive, and we'd sit down and have a family dinner. And it was pretty chaotic. If you add my sister and her kids and us and our kids, and then you add two grandmothers plus my parents around the table, it can be kind of chaotic with six kids running around and stuff. So what we do is, you know, we'd all get there, and my mom and grandmas would kind of finish the food, and we'd help with what we could, and the table would be set. And, you know, the appropriate thing is, as a parent, when your kids are getting a little bit antsy and it's about dinner time, is you set them in the high chair, right? Because it's contained them now. And so we'd sit one of our children, I'm not going to name him by name, we'd sit one of our children in the high chair, and then you place in front of them, smart parents do this, or maybe not, the fork and spoon and plate. It's empty. And so what does the kid then start doing? What did my child start doing then? They take the fork and spoon and they start banging it on the tray, right? That's what's appropriate. That's what children do. Where is my food? They want to know. And maybe the plate goes on the ground in this banging process, but that there is impatience shown instantly of, you just sat me down to contain me, but there's nothing here for me to do except for this and this and this. So I'm going to do it. And grandma, who was 98 at this point or somewhere in there, was like, be patient. And she was annoyed. She was impatient with my child, who was being impatient. And so I said to grandma, and she should have known this, and I'm sure she knew this, we don't learn patience. You know, we're not born being patient. We learn patience throughout our life. We aren't born that way. And as believers, it's the same thing. We learn to be patient and wait on the Lord. When we are reborn, when we are renewed in Christ, this is something that we grow into. It's not something that we automatically, as baby believers, as new believers, wait on the Lord patiently. We want a response because we live in a now generation, in a now world where everything that we want and everything that we desire, we can instantly get somewhere. And so we expect the same response and expect God to be a now instant God, when there could be many things he is trying to teach us during this time. And that is key for us to learn to how to be patient. Eventually, your child learns, after you put them into the seat, that mommy and daddy are going to bring them food. Eventually, they learn to be patient after you sit them there. And as a child of God, we learn to be patient as we understand what God is doing. So how can I be patient? I need to remember this. I need to remember that God is at work during this time of waiting. Romans 8:28 says this, and it's not going to be up behind me. I invite you to write it down. I invite you to turn to it if you want to. Romans 8:28, very familiar passage. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. We know that all things, so the good and the waiting, work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. James 4:2-4 talks about this. It says, consider it great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials throughout our life. And that could very well be the time of waiting as a trial for you, as you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work, so you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. And so these trials in our life, this waiting time in our life, is working in us to mature us, to complete us. So during waiting, in order to be patient, we need to understand that God can be using this for our good. God is at work in our life to guide us, to direct us, to complete us. And we build up this endurance, and God is looking to mature us through this waiting time. So that's how I can be patient during the waiting. Also, I need to remember not only what God is doing that maybe I can't see right now, but he is at work. I need to remember what God has done in my life. And that's in verses 1 and 2 in Psalm 40. As David is saying, I wait patiently for the Lord. He then points out what God has done. This is why David can say he is waiting patiently, because he knows exactly who the God is that he is waiting on. He says this: you brought me up from a desolate pit out of the muddy clay and set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. You see, God has done it before. In those times when he felt he was climbing and it was muddy and he couldn't get out because he was in this pit, God lifted him out of that pit during that waiting time and set his feet on the rock. God's done it before. He'll do it again. He goes on in verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And so not only did he raise them up, that raising him up and putting him on the rock caused him to worship and glorify God. And so in order for us to be patient, we need to know what God is doing, that he is at work in our life, that he is using this to mature us, that maybe he is using us to help others in this world. And so God can be at work in this and remember what he has done already. And so focus on many of the things that God has rescued you from in the past. Number two thing of what we should do when we are waiting is in verse 4 and verse 5. He says this: how happy is the man who has put his trust in the Lord. That's number two. Put your trust in the Lord and in his plan. Okay, and so verse 4 goes on to say this: and has not turned to the proud or those who run after lies. Lord my God, you have done many things, your wonderful works and your plans for us. None can compare with you. And so we have the trust and we have the plans listed there. And so put your trust in God and his plan. He goes on to say, if I were to report and speak of them, they are more than can be told. What do we put our trust in? Verse 4, at the second half of verse 4, talks about how many turn to the proud. Many turn to the things that the proud turn to. It says this: and has not turned to the proud or to those who run after lies. The world during our waiting time has many things for us to run after. Things that may in the moment bring satisfaction. I don't know what you run to during your waiting time, but I have things that I can identify in my life that I run to at waiting times. One, I like to run to food. Food is a comfort. And so throughout my life, I have ran to food over and over and over throughout my waiting times. Spending, I like to buy things. It makes me feel better. And so I go and buy something, and I feel better during that waiting time. Mindless things. I like mindless things. Okay, sit down, watch a television show. I don't have to think. It's right there. It explains everything for me. I'm waiting. I don't want to think about it. I'm going to do something mindless. There it is, the box on the wall. Maybe for you, it's something else. Maybe you like to keep really, really busy. Work a little bit of extra overtime during that time. Maybe you like to go out and run around with friends and hang out with extra friends during that waiting time to keep your mind off of things. Maybe it is shopping. Maybe not even spending. Maybe just going to the store and looking around and trying stuff on so somebody has to return it to the rack. Maybe that's fun for you. I don't know. Maybe you like to daydream or just get out of the house. All these things, though necessarily not bad things, when they become the thing that we run to, when they become the thing that is our first response, when they become the thing that maybe we become addicted to, they become bad things. Food is not bad in and of itself, but if it becomes my reliance, then it has become bad for me. And so on and so on, if you list each one of those areas. He said, during these times of waiting, do we trust in the things that this world has to offer, or do we trust in the Lord, as David says here? You see, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Don't respond to the very first thing that comes into your mind and your understanding and your knowledge during this waiting time, but rely on the Lord instead. Psalm 146, verses 3 through 6 says this. This is Psalm 146. Do not trust in nobles, in men who cannot save. When their breath leaves them, he returns to the ground. On that day, his plans die. Happy is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of the heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. So, we need to learn to trust in the maker, not the made. Trust in the maker, not the made. So how do I trust in God in times of waiting? Verse 8, verse 11 talks about getting into his word. Verse 8 says this, I delight to do your will, my God. Your instruction lives within me. What is God's instruction? He gets into the word. Verse 11 says, and truth will always guard me. What is the truth? It's found in God's word. I want to encourage you, during times of waiting, I realize this is an easy response just to say, but get into God's word. It's easy just to say, hey, read your Bible. But it's not something that many times during the waiting period, but we do. We run to other things instead. Next, we have prayer and confession. How do we trust in God? We pray and confess our sins. Verses 11 through 13 talks about this. It says, Lord, do not withhold your compassion from me. He's praying for compassion. He's praying for mercy here. Your constant love and the truth will always guide me. For troubles without number have surrounded me. My sins have overtaken me. And so you realize here that during this time of waiting, he is praying to God. He's crying out, Lord. Okay, so he's crying out to God in prayer. And then he is pleading for forgiveness and confessing his sins to God. And so he says, my sins have overtaken me. I am unable to see. They are more than the hairs of my head. My courage leaves me. Lord, please deliver me. Hurry, help me, Lord. And so for us to trust in the Lord, during times of waiting, we need to have prayer in our life. We need to be into God's word. But there's some things in our life that we probably need to confess too. Some sins like David here is praying and crying out, God, I need your compassion for these. I've sinned. That's how we wait on the Lord. David realized that his guidance in life, his forgiveness in life, that his life itself came from the Lord as he called God his deliverer. He called him to please hurry up. He said to him, my sins have overtaken me. He called for his compassion. Third in how do we respond in times of waiting. In times of waiting, for us to respond, verses 9 and verse 17, we look at the proclamation. So proclaim your hope is in him. Proclaim this to not only others, but proclaim this to yourself as well. Remind yourself that your hope is in him during times of waiting. Verse 9 says this, I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. See, I do not keep my mouth closed, as you know, Lord. Verse 17, I am afflicted and needy. The Lord thinks of me. You are my helper, my deliverer, my God. Do not delay. So he's praying and crying out that his righteousness is found in God. Our righteousness is found in Christ alone, in God alone. Okay, he's crying out that his help is found in God in verse 17. And so he's reminding himself and telling others that his help is in God alone. Verse 17 also says, he calls him my deliverer. He realizes his deliverance from this time of waiting is in God alone. And so he's proclaiming that to himself, that I am helpless to deliver myself. God, I need you to deliver me. And then he says, the Lord thinks of me. That he's reminding himself that he is not forgotten by God. You see, that's how I felt and Rachel felt when we were sitting in the waiting room, or actually sitting in the office room, that we had been forgotten. That they had all gone home because we had like the last appointment of the day and had left us there. Like, what do we do now? You know? And so the thought of this does not apply to us during our waiting time. We are not forgotten by God. He reminds himself, the Lord thinks of me. And so that's another reminder as you're proclaiming to yourself and you're proclaiming to others that God alone is your righteousness, that God alone is your help, your deliverer. It's a reminder to yourself that yes, he's thinking of me. And yes, he could be doing something amazing through this waiting time to grow me to where I need to be and to grow me to where I can help others as well. And so I need to remind myself of that, proclaim that to myself. And lastly, number 4 of what we do during times of waiting is this. Praise God during the waiting. Praise God during the waiting. Verse 16, and we're going to close with this. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. If you are seeking God to respond, if you're seeking God to pull you out of this waiting time, remind yourself this, let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Praise him. Praise him for the things he has done. Praise him for the things he is doing. Praise him for the things he will do through this time of waiting. Learn from David here. Learn through God's word here that during times of waiting, we can be patient. We should be patient, remembering what the Lord is doing and what he has done in our life. So be patient. Put your trust in him and his plan alone, not the things of this world, but in him and his plan alone. Get into his word, pray, confess things in your life. Next, proclaim your hope is in him alone. Proclaim it to yourself and proclaim it to others. As others are seeing you during this waiting time, you can be an amazing witness for God. I'm waiting for God to work. I know he is at work. I have my trust in him alone. Proclaim that to yourself. And lastly, praise God during the waiting. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation continually say, the Lord is great. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. And at some point in our life, whether it's now or whether it's tomorrow or the next day, we will all face times of wondering what in the world is going on. Times of waiting. So Lord, help us to turn back to Psalm 40. Help us to remember the applications that David sets out here for us. And Lord, help us to apply them. That we will praise you during times of waiting. That we will proclaim you during times of waiting. Lord, that we will wait patiently for you in times of waiting. That we will trust in you during times of waiting. We pray this in your name, Jesus, because that we know that application of your word is only possible through the Holy Spirit's work in our life. And so, please guide us and help us to apply this today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.